My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. I'd like to consider with you this morning the words of our Old Testament reading. It is printed on the back of your bulletin if you wish to follow along from Malachi in the third chapter, some of the very last words of the Old Testament, beginning at verse 13. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test, and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Your words have been hard against me. So who said it? Is that Hillary Clinton talking about Donald Trump? Is it Donald Trump talking about Rosie O'Donnell? Is it George Soros talking about both Clinton and Trump for the waste of his multi-millions of dollars? We have heard a lot of hard words against in this year's presidential campaign. Against the candidates, against the president-elect, against supporters of the candidates. Hey, I just saw yesterday, I saw a report about a lady who ran over her husband with their SUV when she found out who he had voted for in the election. I guess all things considered, I'd rather be run down with hard words than with an SUV. But no, it was not Clinton or Trump or Soros or any protester or any partisan who said, your words have been hard against me, but it was Almighty God himself. And he said these words not to the world, the pagan nations around Israel. He said it to his own people. You, Israel, your words have been hard against me. And to this accusation, the people respond, how? How have we spoken against you, God? So hard are their hearts, so calloused is their conscience, they don't even know what God is talking about. They are clueless. Hard words? What hard words, God? What do you mean? So God lays it out for them in verses 14 and 15. Here's the hard words you said, O Israel. It is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Do you hear these hard words that the people were speaking against their own God? Let me translate it for you. They were effectively saying, there is no point in serving God. We try to take God's word seriously. We go about in mourning over our sins. Meanwhile, the world parties on. They don't care a whip about God. And do those who respect God get a better deal in life because of their effort? No. And do those who despise God get a worse deal? No. So if God does not reward those who keep his word, or if he does not punish those who disobey his word, then why do we even bother? They seem to be the blessed ones, not us. We are just fools for missing out on all of their fun. And to this very day, those same kinds of hard words are still being spoken against God. And not by the people out there, the unbelievers. We expect them to speak hard words against God. They're not believers. The hard words I'm talking about come right from within the body of Christ. Words like this. We go to worship. We give our offerings. We serve in offices. We try to do good. And what does it get us? Nothing tangible in this world, that's for sure. Nothing that seems to give us any kind of a leg up in this world. To the contrary, it often seems like faith and faithfulness just add more burdens to my life. And that if I would just deny Christ, then the world would love me again. And if I would just give myself over to the ways of this world, then I wouldn't have to deal with guilt all the time. And if I would stop attending worship, I'd have a little extra time for myself. And if I'd stop giving offerings, I'd have a little extra cash to do something I want to do. You know, when I stop to think about it, faith and faithfulness in the Lord just don't seem worthwhile. What do I get out of it? Meanwhile, it seems like the advantage is had by those who live the ways of the world. Look at them. Not only do they ignore God's will, they actually flaunt their sin. They make parades out of it. They put it on social media. They put it in pictures. They brag about it. And they seem to get away with it. I don't see them grieving over their sins. I don't see them hurting in any way. So what am I doing? Those are hard words against God. Because they betray a fundamental lack of trust in God's promise of coming blessings to all who serve Him. Those hard words against God are planted in our minds and are put upon our tongues by Satan himself, the father of lies, who tempts us to a short-sightedness of life in which we live only for things temporal while we take our eyes off of things that are eternal. And that, friends, that is why God has given us each other in this fellowship of His servant people. Verse 16. Then those who fear the Lord spoke with one another. You see what they're doing in the family of God? Our duty to one another in the community of Christ, among other things, is to continually remind each other that we live for more than what we see in this world. And we encourage one another to keep our eyes on things that are to come, things that are eternal, when Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. That is why the author of the letter to the Hebrews encouraged Christians to be faithful in their fellowship and in their worship. He said, "Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." That's our job in Christ's body, that we encourage each other in lives of faith and of faithfulness as we see the day of Christ coming nearer and nearer. And those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. As a hedge against words that would discourage our faith and our faithfulness, God has given us each other in worship, in Bible study, in Sunday school, at the Lord's table. Here we encourage each other in faith when it seems like there is no advantage to faith. Here we stir each other up to generosity and to good works, even when it seems pointless. Here we forgive each other so that none will be overwhelmed by guilt or sorrow. Here we speak to each other words of the creed. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. And in speaking those words to each other, we keep each other mindful of the inheritance that awaits all who love Christ and who love His appearing. Here we come together to be nurtured in the great good news of what God has done for us in the first coming of His Son, His perfect life lived in our place, His atoning death that pays the price for our sins, His mighty resurrection that seals our salvation. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. And in such a setting, where God's people are in fellowship with each other, where we are together in worship, where we are kneeling together at His table, where we are confessing words of faith to each other, where we are filling our thoughts with the words of God, there the father of lies is altogether confounded and frustrated in his attempt to put hard words against God into our minds and upon our lips. Because you see, we know with the full assurance of faith and of God's promises that blessings do accrue to those who are faithful, even though it may not always seem like it. And so we read in verses 16 through 18, "The Lord paid attention, and He heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before Him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him." First of all, the first great blessing that accrues to us who are faithful to God is that our names are written in this book of remembrance. And that's no small thing, because for God, you see, remembering is more than just thinking about something He hasn't thought about in a while. But when God remembers you, it is to impart a blessing to you. And so, for example, in the Old Testament, when the Lord remembered Noah, it was to get him and his family off the ark so they could begin living their lives again. When God remembered Israel in Egypt, it was to release them from their bondage and to give them sweet freedom. When God remembered barren Hannah, it was to bless her with the child for which she had so fervently prayed. When you are written into God's book of remembrance, you are in the queue to receive a blessing from God. And what blessing? Well, that's the second thing. The Lord is going to come again and take up His treasured possession. All who trust in Him and are faithful to Him are to be spared, like a man spares his son. They belong to Him as a treasured possession. That language, by the way, comes from Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, this great promise of God to His people. "The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession." That's you. That's me. We are chosen in Christ from before the foundations of the world to be holy in the sight of God by a righteousness that is not ours, but that is ours only by faith in Christ and through the sacrament of holy baptism when we are washed in Christ. We belong to Him as a treasured possession who are baptized into Him. And even though we may not right now see the advantage of that, we know, and this is the third thing, that on that great day of the Lord, the distinction between those who serve the Lord and those who did not will become perfectly clear. For now, it's not so easy to see that distinction, because as Christians, as people who are faithful to God and filled with faith in Christ, we suffer in this world just like everybody else. We get broken bones. We get diseases, cancer. We have family problems. We have money problems just like everybody else. We die just like anybody else. The distinction is not very clear right now. But on that great day, when every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth before Christ, all those who are righteous in Christ will be vindicated, and all sin will finally come to light and will receive its just recompense. And on that day, all those who spoke hard words against God will hear a hard word against them, as God says, "I don't know you. Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." While to those who served him, he says, "Come inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you from before the foundations of the world." And the distinction will be perfectly clear. So the prophet Malachi, as God's final spokesman in the Old Testament, pleads with you not to give up on God, not to speak hard words against him as though he has forgotten you, as though there is no advantage to serving him. But let faith in Christ and let faithfulness to Christ persevere among us to the very end, even when it seems that the blessings of faith are far away. Let these words of the prophet Habakkuk about the end of time strengthen you today. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And on that day, we will join the everlasting song and crown him the Lord of all. Peace be with you in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.